I'm not going to speak very long today because I know it's warm in the church. But as I said a minute ago, the way that we react to life's problems and hiccups, it's a matter of perspective. Sure, this is an inconvenience to be worshiping this way today, but thank God it's not July. The air outside actually helps us, doesn't make it worse. Thank God we're not in Africa, where they worship like this every Sunday. And adding to that are probably flies and mosquitoes and a lot of other things that make worship not pleasant. So we can be sad, or we can be frustrated that we're worshiping in this manner today, or we can say it's just a matter of perspective. Thank God it's not hotter. Thank God we have a roof over our heads. Thank God there aren't any mosquitoes in here stinging us and hurting us while we're worshiping. And thank God most of all, as there are in Africa, people who are against the Christian faith, who come and they try to kill the Christians while they're having services. They blow up their churches, they kill their people. In fact, I have a good friend who's a priest in Uganda, and he says that they begin every liturgy with a prayer for safety, that they can make it through the liturgy without some anti-Christian group coming in and not only ruining their worship, but slaughtering them. So again, it's a matter of perspective. Now, speaking of perspective, in the gospel lesson this morning, we find a foolish man who is at the end, who is at the end of his life, except he doesn't know it. He's sitting in his home. Maybe he is ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, like we are this week. And he looks around at all the things that he has, and he says, he thanks himself. I'm grateful to myself that I have all these things. But I have a problem. My problem is that I don't have a place to store all my things. I have so many things that I don't have any place to put them. So, there are solutions to the problem. What do you do if you have too many things? You can give them away. You can sell them and make some money. Or you can get a bigger space to store the more things that you have. And that's the solution that this man chooses. I have no place to put my stuff. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down what I have, and I'll build a bigger place to put all my things. And then I will sit back on my couch, I'll put up my feet, I'll get some food and beverages, and I will say, congratulations to me. I have things laid up for many, many years. I don't have to worry about anything. Eat, drink, and be merry. And I will say to my soul, be at ease. Thank God you're not like the other people outside, running around like crazy, working, stressing. You are here. You have everything you could ever want. What a great life. And God visits that man, and for the only time in the Bible, he actually calls somebody a name. He says, you're a fool. Tonight, your soul is required of you. And all those things you have, whose will they be? Because they won't be yours. And this puts things into perspective. You could be having the greatest life, but if you don't have any faith, what good is that great life? Because that great life at some point is going to end. And it might be this week. Some of you who are sports fans, you heard that there was a tragedy in Oklahoma State. A plane crashed and killed the basketball coach and his assistant. A week ago, he was coaching a basketball game. I'm sure that it never entered his mind or her mind for the assistant coach that a week later they'd be laying dead on a hillside in Arkansas. Probably never went through their mind. So you never know. When is that day? When is my soul required of me? And all those things that I have, whose are they going to be? That's if you have the great life. Now what happens if you have an awful life? Let's say you have the worst life, the worst luck, and you say, I am cursed because my life is so awful. It's all I can do to get through the day, every day. And there are days I don't even want to get up and go through my life because my life is so bad. Well, there's good news for that too. Because all those problems that you have, when you die, they don't go with you. They stop. You don't carry them for everlasting life. So anything that you have, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, whether it's riches or bad health or fame and fortune or accolades or people hate you, whatever it is, there comes a time when that all stops. And all the things you have, good or bad, they don't go with you. The only thing that goes with you is your faith. I was thinking as we were praying the memorial service, and I think harder, or deeper, when I'm commemorating a brother priest who has fallen asleep, knowing that someday I'm going to fall asleep. And some priest is going to pray for me, Stavros, our brother, our co-celebrant, who has fallen asleep. And yes, they'll dress me up in a set of vestments and they'll put me in a box on the solea of the church. But all the things that I've done in my ministry, whatever awards I have, whatever salary I've collected, whatever things that that's allowed me to do in my life, that's not going to go with me. I'm not going to take the parishioners of St. John's with me if it happens this week. I'm not going to take the beautiful icons. I'm not going to take all my vestments. Just one sec. And those things, they're not going to matter. It's going to matter, was I a faithful man? Was I a faithful priest? Did I believe in God? Did I share the joy of God with people? That's what's going to matter. Father George is a distinguished priest, at least from what I've read, and I have met him a few times. And I'm praying fervently for his soul, that it was not just the trappings of the priesthood, as it is for lots of us, unfortunately. And that for us as Christians, it's not just the trappings of our Christianity, but there's a deep-rooted faith in us. A faith that not just brings, you know, fear, I got to give God his due, lest he smite me down, but that brings a joy to our life. That joyfully wants us to talk about the cause of Christianity. That joyfully wants us to share good news. That joyfully wants us to reach out and help people that need help. I was thinking, on the way over here, I drove through downtown and I saw the encampment of the Occupy Tampa. You know, to me, that's nonsense. If you have time and you have energy, go do something important with it. I mean, if I had all the time in the world, if I didn't have a job and I wanted to make a cause for something, I would get a group of friends and I'd start marching across America. And I'd take a trash bag with me, and I would pick up garbage, and I would say, I want us to get rid of the garbage in our society. The garbage we throw on the ground, the garbage that comes out of our mouth, the garbage we see on our billboards, the garbage we watch on TV. Like, that's the cause we're fighting for. To protest inequities, who cares? In 100 years, all the inequities, whose will they be? Not mine, not those people in Tampa. God will say to me, or to them, or to whoever, what did you do with your life? You wasted it being angry, you wasted it protesting, you wasted it doing whatever it is you're doing, when you could have taken your energy and you could have put it to a better use, a positive use, a helpful use. So we have to stop self-congratulating, and we have to stop protesting, and we have to start helping, and we have to stop comparing our barn to everybody else's barn. We can't protest and say, my barn is too small. I feel unequal to the one who has the bigger barn. My barn, I have a place to sleep. I thank God for that. Whatever size my home is, or my car, or my paycheck, or my bank account, none of those things is going to go with me to eternal life. The only thing that's going to go with me is what's in here. And because of that, I have to live my life in a purposeful way. And I have to live my life in a thankful way. I wish we had air conditioning this morning, but I'm thankful that I'm here at all. I'm thankful that I lived another week to stand in front of the holy altar. I'm thankful for all the people in the congregation who came to pray today. I'm thankful that no one's going to come in here and kill me because I'm proclaiming the word of Christ. I'm thankful I have a home to go to this afternoon. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I look at my life and I look at other people's lives and I might say, gosh, I wish I had better health. I wish that I was 20 pounds lighter. I wish that I had a little bit more money. I wish I had a little of this. I wish I had a little of that. But ultimately, I look at myself and I say, I could be a lot worse, and I thank God for what I have. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, and we cook our turkeys, and we watch our football, and we do the things that we do on Thanksgiving, pause for a moment and say, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for the very life I have. I'm thankful that I woke up today and I'm alive, that I took a breath of air, that I stood up and my legs worked. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I came here. And now when I go home this afternoon, yes, I plan on putting my feet up on the couch. Yes, I will have something to eat. Yes, I will have a good time, I hope, with my son and my wife. But it has to be more than that. My life has to have a purpose. My purpose is not just getting and having fun. My purpose is honoring God for the things that He's given me, thanking God for the things that are in my barn, and realizing that my barn at some point will not be mine. And the only thing that's going to be mine is what is in here. And it's a matter of your perspective. So thank you for sharing a beautiful service. I pray that next time we gather, the air will be a little cooler, but the service will be holy in whatever kind of condition it's celebrated in, and it will be joyful because of the people that we're celebrating it with. Thank you for worshiping this morning. Have a wonderful week and a happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.